Today, we are starting a series called God is Faithful. I think one of the greatest principles, the underlying foundation of our life can be built upon this. Because without this, everything else is just temporary. But the fact that God is faithful, that God is not a God of whim and just a happenstance and how he feels, then that's what he does. He's not a God of just if you do the wrong thing, oh, you've blown the switch and you're no good anymore. We need to understand that everything we read in the Word of God, when we open the Bible, we can trust it. We can count on it. It will not change. It is like nothing else in this world. It's not like us. And so that is the bedrock foundation of everything that we read in the Word of God. When we talk about what Jesus did for us, see, that means nothing if God is not faithful. And God has proven himself faithful. And we're going to look at that we need to begin to build the way of our life upon this foundation that God is faithful, that he is there, that he has a plan and he has a purpose and he's not going to give up on us. No matter what we do, no matter how many times we fail him, no matter who we are, no matter what we see in the mirror and how short we come up to our own standards, God is still faithful. And this is shown by this great verse, and the song that we just sang is taken out of this verse, and we're going to look at it. And this is kind of our text for the next 4 weeks, and that is in Lamentations. Lamentations is a book that was written by the prophet Jeremiah. It was written at the time that God had stepped in and finally did what he had been promising for years and years. We know that before Jeremiah, there had been many prophets. All the time from Moses up to Jeremiah, there had been people that God had sent telling his people, if you will come back to me, if you will begin to mend your ways, I will bless you. I will give you life. I want to lead you into the life that you were meant to have. But you have turned away from me. You've gone your own way and you've begun to serve your own desires, and this is leading you down a path of destruction. And so there was words of warning that God said, don't go this way, because if you keep going this way, sin is going to devour you. It's going to lead you to destruction. And for hundreds of years, God had been warning them and warning them. We had heard in the words of Isaiah and Amos and all those before him, that this is coming. And finally, in the days of Jeremiah, we know that God used the nation of Babylon to come and bring that discipline upon his people. And God is faithful to bring us, even through hard things, to change us. He is faithful to heal us through the pain of surgery and through the pain of treatments that do not feel good. And that's what this was, this captivity that God was taking them into. It was not a wrath of punishment. It was a love of discipline that I'm trying to begin to bring you out of this. And so Jeremiah was witnessing the horrible invasion of Babylon into Israel. Babylon destroyed Jerusalem, took the people captive, and as he did that, he saw the atrocities that the Babylonians did upon them. And it was in the middle of this that Jeremiah's own people, the few remnants of the Jewish people, took Jeremiah and kidnapped him, because he said, I'm not going to leave. I don't want to leave Jerusalem. I'm going to be here for my people until the very end. And they took him and they kidnapped him and said, no, Jeremiah, we're going to escape before they can kill you. And they took him to Egypt. And while he was in Egypt, being kidnapped away from his own land, he wrote the book of Lamentations. It's the cry of his heart to God. It was the cry of his heart that, God, I'm in this place where I have lost everything. Did you ever feel that way? God, I'm trying to serve you, but yet I feel like I've lost everything. God, I know I'm not perfect and I don't deserve it, but God, I love you and God, I've blown it so much. And we cry out to God. And this is what Jeremiah did. So let's pick up in chapter 3, verse 18. And after crying out to God and reciting all that he had suffered with, this is what he says. Grab my glasses here. Starting in verse 18, and I said, my strength and my hope have perished from the Lord. Sometimes we feel like, God, even though I know you're there, I believe you're there, I feel like I have no hope. My strength has perished. I can't go on anymore. I don't have the strength to even keep hoping. You know, that's pretty bad when you can't even, when it's too strenuous to even hope. It says, my strength and my hope have perished from the Lord. But he goes on and he says, remember my affliction and my roaming and the wormwood and the gall within me. And yet my soul still remembers and it sinks within me. See, sometimes it's almost worse to remember the good things that God has done. Isn't it sometimes when you're in that valley, when you're in the middle of the storm, you think about the good times, it's almost like, I don't even want to remember those. It just makes me more sick because I see where I'm at. I'm so far from the good things that my heart sinks within me. I don't even want to think about that. And yet, he says this, yet this I recall to my mind, and therefore I have hope. He remembers something. There's something that comes to his mind at those times when he doesn't even want to remember. This is what he remembers. He said, this I will recall to my mind, and therefore I have hope, that through the Lord's mercies we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. When I am hurting and bleeding, I feel lonely, I feel rejected, I feel like my life is going nowhere, God's compassion is new every morning. In other words, that word new, it's like someone that's falling in love all over again. Do you remember that new love? When you first met that person and your heart kind of leapt and there was just kind of no matter what was going on, you just kind of felt better when you were talking to that person. All of a sudden, you forgot all the things that was going on. That's that new love. What he is saying is that, do you know that every morning God looks at you and God feels this leap in his heart? Because when he sees you, a new compassion rises up within God. God loves you new every morning. God falls in love with you no matter where you are every morning. And his mercies are fresh. In other words, his faithfulness is based on this desire to be with you. No matter what you are feeling, God's love is fresh and new every morning. And he is faithful. He will not leave. He will not turn around. He will not forsake you. He does not get angry that, man, look at what I've done for you and this is how you treat me. See, that's how we feel. God doesn't feel that way. We may have failed him many times, and yet God says, you know what? You're still the person that I died for, and I would die again for you. You see, he is faithful. He's faithful because his love is true. His love will not end. And because of that, his faithfulness is strong. How many know it's easy to be faithful to someone when you love them? There's that person you just love, and yet when you love someone, even when it hurts you, you're faithful. You hold on to them. God, his faithfulness will never leave us. He goes on and says, the Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I hope in him. The Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the soul who seeks him. It is good that one should hope and wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. You see, here's the thing. God is faithful no matter what. His mercies are fresh every morning. His compassions never fail. But you got to trust him. You see, because he is faithful, because he loves you, he does what is absolutely best for you. See, here's the problem. We love people, and sometimes we do the worst thing for them. We let them get away with things. We condone things. Our love for them is shallow because it affects us. God's love for you is deeper, and he will sometimes love you in a way that is painful at first. But Jeremiah said, if you will wait on him, if you'll seek him, he will lead you. His faithfulness will not let you down. And so we've got to understand that principle of waiting, of seeking, of trusting God. His faithfulness is not always quick and easy. It's not a microwave love. You know, I love microwave, but if you had a choice of microwave meals every day for the next 20 years or fresh cooked your grandma's pies and casseroles, which one would you choose? I would choose whatever flavor it is, whether it's Mexican, okay, some of you, or Italian. But the home cook, you know, that takes work. If you've ever been in a kitchen, that takes time and work. Microwave is good at times, but, you know, it doesn't satisfy. So we need to stop expecting God to be a microwave meal for me all the time. God wants to give you a hearty, home-cooked life. That means there's work to be done. That means there's time that's going to take cooking in the oven, in the heat. So we need to trust the faithfulness of God, that God is making your life into something better than a microwave rescue. I know we want it right away, but God is doing something better. So this faithfulness of God, if God is so faithful, what does that look like? We're going to look at, for the next 4 weeks, the focus of his faithfulness. What is the purpose of his faithfulness? How does he show his faithfulness? And what areas can we depend upon his faithfulness? Today we want to look at the first place that God is faithful. And that is the principle that God is faithful to deliver us. God is faithful to deliver you. There are times in your life that we need deliverance. We need the hand of God to reach in and bring us out. We need sometimes God's love to give us strength to make it through another day. We need those things. We need that faithful. And here's the thing. God is faithful to deliver you. God did not call you just to believe on him and then he's going to leave you in your trial. This is one of the greatest principles, that God hears your cries. Do you know that? God hears your hurts. When you are hurting, when you are heartbroken, when you are drowning, sometimes in our own bad choices, God's there to lift us out. There's nothing worse. I remember one time we were playing around, and as kids you do this, and we're in the pool and we were just playing, and my cousin decided to hold me under the water. And I was the smaller, he was bigger. There was no way I was getting out. And you know what? When you're holding the person underwater, time seems to go much slower. When you're the one under the water, oh man, the time is just being, have I been under here 5 minutes? Let me up. There's that desire. You know what? God hears you when you feel that in your life. How many know sometimes we feel like that in our life? Like I'm gasping for breath. It's almost like this life is there's just desperation. You need to know that God hears you. And that God is faithful to deliver you. He will hear your cry, whatever it is. In so many different areas, we cry out to God, whether it's physical. You know what? He knows your physical needs. Whether it's relational, he hears the broken heart in relationships. Whether it's emotional, God feels the oppression of a mind that is under chaos. Maybe it's financial. God hears and he sees your situation. Whatever it is, I want you to hear this principle today. God knows where you're at. I want to look at an example of this where God speaks this. And it's not just a one-time thing, because this is an example that he speaks again and again throughout the Bible. But here's a great example in Exodus. And we know the story of Moses as he comes to the burning bush. And he turns aside to see this, and God speaks to him. And it was an anointing time. It was a time where God revealed himself. And God took an extraordinary supernatural experience because God was so concerned. And this is what God said. The Lord said, "I have surely seen the oppression of my people who are in Egypt, and I have heard their cry because of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. So I have come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up from the land to a good and a large land, to a land flowing with milk and honey, to the place of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites. Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel has come to me, and I have also seen the oppression with which the Egyptians oppress them. Come now, therefore, and I will send you to Pharaoh, that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt." I love that statement. God said, "I have heard the cry of my people." But he goes beyond that. He says, "I know their sorrow." You know, he knows how we feel. Because even though we think of Jesus dying for us 2,000 years ago, do you understand that it says in the Bible that Jesus was slain from the foundation of the earth? In other words, time to God means nothing. In our mind, we live in a linear time frame that Jesus was way back then. Do you know that Jesus is experiencing that before we were ever born? He's experiencing that now, and he will experience that until God calls us home. It was not a one point for God. God knows how you feel. And Jesus said, "Because I suffer, I know how you feel." We have a high priest who knows how we feel. God says, "I know your sorrow. I know it. I feel it." And we might understand. We might ask ourselves, then why are you waiting so long? God knows the right time. God knows the best time to step in when we need it. And until that time comes, he wants us to know, "I hear it, and I'm working something in the works." We know that Moses was called to be the point of deliverance for his people. You might say, why did God have to wait so long? Because here's why. Because if Moses was truly going to deliver his people, how many, when you want a deliverance, I want a full deliverance. I don't want to be delivered just for 5 minutes and I'm going to be right back in it. So God was preparing Moses. He had to get Moses prepared because Moses had a lot of pride that had to get out of there if he was going to lead his people, if he was going to provide his people with a true deliverance. And so for 40 years in the desert, God was getting Moses ready until that time that he sent him out, as we just read. If you are waiting and you're wondering, "God, I don't know if you really know my sorrow or you would have acted before," you need to understand God does know your sorrow, and he is working ahead of time to deliver you. There is a great story in World War II in the book called The Downfall of Fortresses. There is the story of a navigator in one of the big B-52 bombers that would fly over England and would fly over the continent when they began to do bombing runs in Germany and over other areas, Czechoslovakia and Romania, the other areas in that European theater. And during one run, this person was a Christian and he was calling on God. We know that we lost so many different planes and so many pilots, and he was praying because they were in a barrage of anti-aircraft that was just blowing up all around them. And yet, they got through it. They let off their payload and made it back to their airfield in England. And as they landed, the tower saw them coming in and said, you need to land very gently, because we can see from here that there is a shell unexploded in the belly of your plane. And they're like, oh man, to come all this way and then blow yourself up on the landing would be terrible. And so the pilot, with great trepidation, the crew began to pray, and they landed the plane. And everything was safe. They took out the shell, and as they began to inspect the plane, not only was it one shell that had hit the plane and not exploded, they found 11 shells in different areas of the plane that had hit the plane and not exploded. You talk about the faithfulness of God, the providence of God, of the prayer of one who sought God. But that's not the end of the story. As they begin to gently take out all these shells, they begin to look at them, they begin to figure out why they had not exploded. And as they opened up, they found that there was no trigger mechanism, there was no explosive charge in them. And as they opened them up, they found one thing, a rolled up little note inside the shells saying, we can't do much, but this is all we can do for now. That there were Christian workers, there were people in a plant in Europe that were making the bombs, that were secretly working against the Nazis by making faulty bombs, and they put this note in there. You see, sometimes God is working for you when you don't see it. Way before the miracle happens, God has already felt your pain. God was already feeling your sorrow that you're feeling now, probably back when things were going great and you weren't even thinking of Him. He was already preparing a way, because God is faithful to deliver you. Doesn't mean He's going to take you out of the pain, that you're never going to experience it, but God, if you will hold on to Him, God is faithful to deliver you through the valley. He hears your cry. He feels your sorrow. I love this promise. In 2 Chronicles, we have the story of God speaking to the king of Israel at that time. His name was Asa. God had delivered him several times already, had put His hand upon the nation of Israel, had brought them through wars. And at this point in time, Asa had decided he was facing a great army that was coming against him. But now, all of a sudden, in his fear and in his pride, he said, I need help. And so he turned to his enemy. He turned to Syria, who had been a nation who had punished and been cruel to the nation of Israel to the north, and now Judah was turning to him and putting their trust in him, and they had created an alliance. And God said, why are you doing this? Why are you not coming to me and trusting in me? I've brought you through so many times, and yet you've turned to this world for your help. Don't we do that sometimes? No matter what God has shown us, we begin to trust ourselves. We begin to rely on, well, I need that job. I need the money. I'm not going to make it if I don't have this. And we begin to put our trust in human strength and in the things of this world. Well, this is what God tells him in 2 Chronicles chapter 16. It says, at the time, Hanani, the seer, came to Asa, king of Judah, and said to him, because you have relied on the king of Syria, and if you have not relied on the Lord your God, therefore, the army of the king of Syria has escaped from your hands. Were the Ethiopians and the Lubim not a huge army with many chariots and horsemen? Yet because you relied on the Lord, He delivered them into your hand. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show Himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is loyal to Him. But in this you have done foolishly, therefore from now on you will have wars. God said, have I not proven myself before? And do you not understand this concept? Here's a principle that God says, the eyes of the Lord are running to and fro across the whole earth. He's just looking for someone to show himself strong on their behalf if they will have a heart that is loyal to him. God is saying, if you will seek me and if you will begin to put your trust in me, I'm looking for a reason to show myself strong on your behalf. I'm just looking for someone. God's waiting to deliver you. God wants to bring you through the valley to show that he can be trusted. He wants to prove himself to you if we will put our hearts in his hand. We know that David was a man who learned this principle so many times. He had to run for his life. And again, God's faithfulness does not mean he's going to spare you from problems. We still have to live in the same world as everyone else does. Problems are going to come our way, but God is faithful. We can walk through the valleys. We can walk through the storms saying, this is just one more opportunity to show that my God is faithful. David continued to do that. When he was living in a cave, he said, that's okay. God's faithful. When he was running in the desert, it's okay. God is faithful. And God proved him. David writes this, Psalm 40, to the chief musician, a psalm of David. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined to me. He heard my cry. And he brought me up out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and he set my feet upon a rock, and he established my steps. Whatever pit you're in, God hears your cry. And he will bring you out. He will pull you out of the miry clay and set your foot on the rock to stay. Do you trust him? Will you cry out to him? Again, David writes in Psalm 37, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his way. Though he fall, he will not be utterly cast down. For the Lord upholds him with his hand. I have been young, and now I am old, yet I have never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his descendants begging bread. You may be knocked down. We're going to go through the valleys, but God will hold on to you if you will hold on to him. If you will seek him, he will not forsake you. He will not leave you or your children or your descendants forsaken. God is faithful to deliver you. He hears your cry. And you know what? It's not just the examples in the Old Testament. Those are great examples. They were written to encourage us. As we read all through the Old Testament, those stories are not just historical stories. They are proof that God wants you to know time and time again, he heard their cry. He brought them through. He doesn't always take them out, but he will bring you through. But not only that, then we have the greatest example. God sent his son. Jesus himself comes to show this principle in the flesh. That as God walked the earth, Jesus showed, I desire to deliver you. As he walked in Matthew chapter 8, we have this story of a leper. A leper is one who the world has forsaken. They couldn't even come close. They didn't even want to touch him. They had to live outside in the trash heaps. And so this leper, behold, a leper came to Jesus and worshiped him and said, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. And that's a big question. Because we come to God, we need to understand. We say, God, if you could, I know you could help me. But do you want to? There's times where we have that question, God, I know you can. But do you want to? And here is the answer that you need to know that Jesus told him. Jesus put out his hand and touched him. No one touches a leper. Yet Jesus touched him and said these words, I am willing. and he cleansed him. And immediately the leprosy was cleansed. I want you to know today, not only does God hear your cry, because see, it's one thing to know that God hears me. It's another thing to understand that God is willing to deliver you. God's heart is willing. He wants to, he will. You got to trust the means. You got to be patient that sometimes how he does it, now that's up to God. You can't tell God how to do it. You need to understand that God is willing to do it. You see, when he brought his children out of Egypt, what did he bring them into the desert? And what did they say? God, this is not what we meant by delivering us. Sometimes God delivers us and we're like, no, this is not where I wanted. God said, be patient, I'm not done. You see, that was just the first step. Sometimes God is delivering us, but we get so impatient, this is not what I wanted. See, God, you didn't even do a good job. God said, that was just the first step, and we've already given up on him. God is willing, but let him bring it to pass through the steps that he has. Jesus healed the leper. Jesus is willing to touch us wherever we're at. We saw over and over again, we read the stories in the New Testament of the miracles of Jesus. We might say, why do we have these miracles in the New Testament of Jesus? Because God wants you to know that no matter what you face, God can deliver you. Is it physical pain that you're in right now? God can heal you. Sometimes he does it right away. Sometimes he does it incrementally. Sometimes it takes time. But God hears your physical touch. Is it emotional distress that you're in? So many times we see those that Jesus came. Some of them were demon-possessed, and some of the mental issues that they were dealing with, at that time, everything that they dealt with was considered to be demonic. Some of those may not have been demonic. It may have been actually what we today would call scientifically psychological diseases or incidences, and yet Jesus healed them. We look at Mary. We look at the man in the tombs that was out of their mind. It says that they were tormented. God sees mental anguish, and it says he cleansed them. He touched them. God can heal whatever you're facing. Maybe it's financial. Well, do we have a story? You know that I love the story that Jesus, when Peter said, we have no way to pay the taxes, he said, go fishing. What? Go fishing. No, we got to pay the taxes. Go fishing. And he said, now bring me one of those fish. And he opens the fish, and there was the coin to pay for their taxes in the temple. God will deliver you no matter what it is. Maybe it's provision. I don't know where my funds are going to come from. We know that he saw the hunger of the crowd, and Jesus fed 5,000 out of one simple lunch from a boy. God is willing and able to deliver you no matter what you are facing. He is faithful. What are you struggling with today? What are you crying out? Now, here's the thing that I love, the faithfulness of God. He doesn't wait for us just to cry out, because sometimes we don't cry out to him. Sometimes we get so caught up in the struggle of life that we're just trying to make it through. But here's the great thing. God even hears the silent cry of your soul. Because when you're not consciously crying out to God, God sees your spirit and your spirit cries out to him. I am so glad that God is faithful. He doesn't even wait for us to consciously pray. Sometimes he hears our heart prayer. He hears just the torment of our soul. And he steps out, and he will deliver us. And you know what? Here's the greatest thing. Sometimes it's our own sin that he delivers us from. You know, it's one thing for a God to deliver us from all the enemies that we face, because we have lots of them in this world. You know, we face the onslaught of society. We face the onslaught of abuse from other people, or the way we were raised, and the things that we've been introduced, and all of those things that that we need help against, but yet God is willing to deliver us out of our stupidity. When we choose to hurt ourselves, God is still willing to reach down and deliver us because his mercies are new every morning. His compassions are new. He has fallen in love with you today. Even though you're a sinner, even though you're a liar, you're a cheat, you are a proud person, you are envious, you're greedy, you are lustful. He sees the dirt in your heart, and yet God says, I love you, and I'm going to deliver you from those things. I want to deliver you from your own weaknesses. I want to deliver you from your own choices. I love this. 1 John chapter 1, he says this, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You see, God's faithful. He says, say the word. I'm not gonna say, oh, that's too bad. Oh, this is your fourth chance. I'm sorry you went over the board. Three strikes, you're out. No, God is faithful if we confess. We cry out. God is faithful to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. God will deliver you. He goes on in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 again. It says, no temptation has overtaken you except is common for man. In other words, every person deals with brokenness and sinful nature. We are all tempted by our wrong desires. But it says, God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will make a way of escape that you will be able to bear it. He is faithful to make a way to deliver you. He has built in your life a way of escape if you'll just seek him. Doesn't mean you have to be perfect. He just says, hold on to me. Even in your own struggles with sin, will you just hold on to God? You may fall down 10 times, but hold on to God. You see, we are the children of God. He's like your own kid when he's learning to ride a bicycle. You know what? You run alongside him. You let him go and, oh, they fall down. What do you do? You fell down. Get yourself up. You're not going to ride anymore. No, let's try it again. And yet with God, we feel like we've blown it. And yet God's like, he says, no, it's okay. Get up. Let's go again. Let me fix that knee that you skint up and let's try it again. God is faithful. All he asks, will you just hold on? Will you have a heart that is loyal to me? I will show myself strong for you. God is faithful to deliver us, whatever it is. He will not give up on you. The only way God will not deliver you is if you give up on him. It's when we just get so filled with self-pity, it's not worth living for, I'm not going to try anymore, I don't trust you, God. God, you didn't do it the way I wanted to, so I'm not going to do it. Or the things of this world get so big in our eyes that they seem way better than the things of God. When we get that distorted vision, you need to understand that God's pleasure and God's plan for you is so much better than money, than pleasure, than anything that this world has to offer. All the respect of other people, the people that you want to be accepted by, the more you try and fit in to their life, I'm telling you, you're going to actually be rejected. It's only when we let that go and say, God, you mean more to me than those things. And if you will hold on, God will deliver you. I'm going to close with this scripture. Jesus wept over Jerusalem. Jesus cried, and this was his cry. He said, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the one who kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to her. How often I have wanted to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you were not willing. What a statement. God says, you don't even understand that how often I wanted to deliver you. I'm just waiting to enter your life and give you a new life, but you weren't willing. See, here's a God who loves us so much, he's not going to force himself into our life. But he is sitting here with open arms saying, will you come and bring your problems to me? Will you hold on to me? Even though the storm is going, will you just put your anchor in me? But he says, you are not willing. The only way that God is not faithful is when we are not willing. This morning, all I want to say is, will you be willing to enter into the faithfulness of God? Are you willing to accept his faithfulness? Now, it sounds like a stupid question. Of course I would be, but yet that means letting go of your trust in the world. It means letting go of your trust in yourself. It means trusting his plan, because he is faithful. He will never let you down. Like David, we can say, I was young and I'm old, but I've never seen the righteous forsaken. The person who truly trusts in God will always be delivered. Now, it may not be delivered in the way that we think it should be. Sometimes God delivers through death. There's a story of Ralph Simmons, who wrote in his book of memoirs, the day he returned from the war, made it back to the States, and was trying to make his way home, had flown in, but didn't have enough money to catch the train, and so he was out hitchhiking the way home. This was back when it was somewhat safer to do that. Wouldn't expect to do that now, but he was in his uniform, and he was out hitchhiking, and this car pulls up and says, get in. He says, well, you're in luck if you're going to Chicago. He says, I do. I live outside of Chicago. He says, well, you're in luck. I'm heading that way. And as they drove, the guy gave him his card, Mr. Hanover, with Hanover Industries, and I'm glad to help a GI, and they were just having a great time. And within his heart, he just kept feeling, you need to share the Lord with them. And I don't know, I don't want to. And he picked me up. I don't want to make it feel uncomfortable. But finally, he said, Mr. Hanover, can I just share something that, do you know the Lord? And God's been so good to me. He brought me through the war, and I'm safe because of him. And he just began to share his heart about Jesus. Lo and behold, Mr. Hanover turns to him and says, I want that. That's exactly what I need. And he accepted Christ in his heart. And they got home. He let off the GI. He went home. He said, thanks so much for the ride. You're a lifesaver. And they went on. And he went on his life. And it was some 5 years later, as they were packing up, him and his family, and they were getting ready to move, and he found this card in some of his stuff. Before he left Chicago area, he says, you know what, I want to go check on this guy that helped me out. And so we went to the business address that was on there, and he said, I'd like to talk to Mr. Hanover, and we knew each other way back. It's been 5 years, and he said, well, you can't talk to Mr. Hanover, but you can talk to his wife. He's like, okay, well, whatever that means. They brought him into his wife. And she said, how can I help you? And he said, well, I knew Mr. Hanover. I just met him once, but I just wanted to, I had his card from the night that our paths crossed. She said, well, when did you see him? And he told him the day and the time, and 5 years ago at this. She began to weep a little bit. And she said, well, you don't understand. He was killed that night in a car accident. And she said, you know what, that's one of the things that has changed my life. And he said, well, oh, that is so sad to hear it. I can't believe that. He said, well, if anything, let me just tell you, before he left me off, he prayed the sinner's prayer with me and accepted Christ. And then she began to weep, because she said, you know what, I was a Christian, and I used to always pray, God, save my husband. And then he got killed. And I was so mad at God, because God did not do what he promised. He was supposed to be faithful to that. And now you've come and told me this. For the last 5 years, I had stopped serving God in my life. But now I find out that God was faithful the whole time. I don't know where you're at. And it may not feel like God is even at work. And maybe it feels like God has left you. But you need to know that God is faithful. God is working in ways that you may never know. You could be like that wife that may have never found out. And she would have given up on God. I want to tell you, don't give up on God. Because he is faithful. No matter what is going on in your life, would you reach out? Would you take his hand today and say, God, I need your deliverance. He will hear your cry. He'll hear your heart.